verses from 1 Timothy chapter 1. Listen now for God's holy word. Paul's writing to his friend and colleague Timothy. He begins by saying, Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, our hope. To Timothy, my loyal child in the faith, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. I urge you, as I did when I was on my way to Macedonia, to remain in Ephesus, so that you may instruct certain people not to teach any different doctrine, and not to occupy themselves with myths and endless genealogies that promote speculation, rather than the divine training that is known by faith. But the aim of such instruction is love that comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and sincere faith. Some people have deviated from these and turned to meaningless talk, desiring to be teachers of the law without understanding either what they are saying or the things about which they make assertions. I am grateful to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me, because he judged me faithful and appointed me to his service, even though I was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, a man of violence. But I received mercy because I had acted ignorantly in unbelief, and the grace of our Lord overflowed for me with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am the foremost. But for that very reason, I received mercy, so that in me, as the foremost, Jesus Christ might display the utmost patience, making me an example to those who would come to believe in him for eternal life. To the King of the ages, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. My friends, the grass may wither and the flowers may fade, but the word of our Lord remains and abides forever. Thanks be to God. Amen. My friends, this evening, I'm finally able to be with you to start a new sermon series. During the later parts of the summer for my sermons, we used the book of Acts, and we had a focus on the different members of the Trinity, learning about God through that book and through those topics. And as we moved here into the fall, I needed to choose a new focus, and I found God leading me to take that focus through Paul's letters to Timothy, his friend and his colleague in ministry. Within our Bible, we have two letters to Timothy, 1 and 2 Timothy. And for the next few weeks, I will be taking up topics and passages from these letters and listening to them with open hearts. We will be listening to them with open hearts, trusting and hoping that God will speak to us through these passages. As you know, I haven't been in the pulpit for the past two Sundays, and for part of that time I was sick with COVID-19, and it was frustrating to not be able to preach and lead worship with you all. But at the end of that first week, I did regain enough energy to head back to my office and begin working on this new sermon series. So I have been studying 1 Timothy to better understand the background of this letter. According to the book of Acts, Paul met Timothy in Lystra, one of the many towns where Paul had been active in spreading the gospel and beginning the Jesus movement in that place, founding a church there. On one of Paul's trips through Lystra, through that area, Paul first met Timothy. Paul met Timothy and realized that Timothy had gifts for the kind of work that Paul himself was doing in the world for God. And so Paul took Timothy on with him, and Timothy joined Paul in the work that Paul was doing, helping to first and foremost spread the gospel, but then also to care for the churches that were being formed on the good foundation of that gospel message. During this time, Paul was always making plans to head further west, to reach locations where the gospel had not yet reached. But Paul was also attending to the needs of the churches that he had already helped to plant, or which others had planted, and he had helped to come in and create some more growth there as well. Those churches would have issues. They would have problems. They would have questions or controversies, and Paul would help those churches through those troubles and the questions that they were experiencing. Sometimes, and for various reasons, Paul himself couldn't be with those churches in person. And when he couldn't visit churches himself in person, he would sometimes send them letters to help address the issues that they were facing. And sometimes when he needed to, Paul would send delegates. He would send people like Timothy to go in his place and to help to work to address the particular needs that a church was facing. The letter of 1 Timothy is like a job description letter. It's a commissioning letter. It spells out Timothy's calling, his job description for this particular mission on which Paul is sending him on this particular occasion. Basically, there are some troubles in the church. There are some troubles in the church in Ephesus. There were issues that we will look at more carefully in the sermons that follow the next few weeks. But the point is that things weren't perfect in the church in Ephesus. And Paul needed someone to be there in Ephesus to help his beloved brothers and sisters in Christ to deal with those troubles. And Timothy was the solution that God gave to Paul. With Paul's commissioning, Timothy would remain in Ephesus to help get things straightened out. And so the letter of 1 Timothy lays out the scope of Timothy's work, the scope of the work that laid before Timothy, the commissioning and the advice that Paul gives to Timothy for handling and doing that work. It's all laid out there in the letter. Here are the issues, and here Paul says to Timothy, here is what you should say and what you should do. And by the way, here are some things you should not do. You know, advice, positive and negative, for his colleague in ministry. Now, of course, in a very broad and general way, we can relate to the situation facing Timothy and the church at Ephesus. When we look at our own lives, the projects that we endeavor in our own lives, when we examine our situation, whether at home or at work or here at church, we are aware that things are not perfect. Things are not perfect. When we look at our church and at our lives, we can see that there are challenges and problems and issues that we face. We know that the people and the institutions of which we are a part, they have some issues that need some work and need ironing out. When we look at our church, for instance, at times it seems like there are so many problems and issues and troubles to address. We think about the size of our congregation constantly, right? Every time we gather here in this space or turn on Zoom, we count the number of people in the pews and we look at the number of people on the screen and we think there just aren't enough people. We need more people. When we look at the property that God has put into our care and in our possession, we can celebrate all that we have accomplished in the many restoration projects that we've done over the last couple of years. But then this summer, a couple of trees fall down and damage some of our buildings, and we look at the bills for dealing with all of those trees, and we look at all of the estimates for fixing the roof and dealing with the damages that have been caused, and then we look at all of the other issues that we also need to address besides those issues, and we see we have so many problems associated with the properties that we have. In the past few weeks, certain volunteers have come to me, leaders in our church, and made it clear that their time and their particular volunteer leadership position is coming to a close. People are smiling out there. I'm leaving. I can't stick around. I can't keep having this job. And so we realize that in the next few weeks and months and years, we're going to have issues with filling leadership positions. Every month, those who have access to the budget and the finance reports, we look at our income versus our expenses, and we realize that we have problems. We need more money. We make a good bunch of good plans for this fall. We work on strategies and ideas for inspiring services to plan and to lead. And then the pastor gets sick and he can't be in worship for a couple of weeks. And our hopes for a big wave of ministry in the fall comes crashing down. Even this morning, even today, we were hoping to have an inspiring time in the park and to have a public witness along with our neighbors and all of the people who are there. And this cold, rainy day comes and leaves us feeling a little defeated and a little flat. My friends, there are so many troubles and problems and setbacks and so many complicated issues to resolve and to fix and to figure out. And so it's not hard to relate to the situation that we find at the beginning of the first letter to Timothy, that Paul realizes there are troubles in the church and someone's got to do something to deal with those troubles at the church. And so we can relate to Timothy standing there with his commissioning letter in his hand, facing that church in Ephesus with all of their problems and all of their troubles. And we can relate to the feeling of looking up to God and saying, God, there's a lot of troubles and problems and issues. I'm facing a lot of troubles and problems and issues, and I could use some help. And I could use some help. We might feel that way about our situation here at church. And I know many of us feel that way about our personal lives as well. The ways that we serve our friends and families and the communities that we are a part of, there are troubles and problems and issues, and we wonder, where should we start? And so we come to the letter of 1 Timothy and the opening chapter of the letter of 1 Timothy, knowing that we can relate. And so we come hungry. What can you teach us, God? What's the first step? Right? What's the first step? And that's a great posture to take, being open to God, being looking for help and direction. So where does Timothy start? What is the beginning of his commissioning? Where does Paul and God give Timothy advice for how to bring about the problem-solving reform and transformation that the church in Ephesus needs? Paul sends Timothy to address the troubles in the church in Ephesus. And what was fascinating to see and to realize this week, as I studied the onset of this letter, what was fascinating and important and what God spoke to me the most through this week was that the first commission, the place that Paul called Timothy to begin, it is with preaching the gospel to help found people in their faith. It's to found people in their faith. Paul sends Timothy into the church and he says, remind them of the good news of the gospel. It's so counterintuitive to us. We like to be problem solvers. We like to grab the bull by the horns. We have all of the advice about how to get things done and where to start and how to make a to-do list and how to put something at the top of the list that's an easy one to accomplish and deal with so that you can get the first one done with and you can get rolling on your problem solving and you can get to the next one on the list and then you're on a roll and then you're working and things are going well. And so we just want to get in there and we want to start doing stuff and getting things accomplished and fixing things and making things right. And I'm sure Timothy felt the same way. He was probably excited to be Paul's agent going into the church in Ephesus. And I'm going to tackle those problems and I'm going to shake things up and I'm going to make things right. And Paul tells him, by God's grace, that the place where he needs to start is to remind people of the good news and to found people, to refound people, to give people the strong foundation of their faith. Why is that? Why did Paul do that? It's because Paul knows that for real transformation to take place, for problems to actually get solved, we need to start on the foundation of our repaired and restored relationship with God. If we don't have that, then we're just running around like chickens with our heads cut off, right? We're just being crazy. So Paul's commissioning to Timothy and God's message to us is to start with our faith. Paul knows that there are a lot of issues to work out in the church in Ephesus, but Paul also knows, he believes, it is Paul's deep conviction, his sincere conviction, that those troubles and those problems cannot be solved if we don't have the strong foundation of our faith in the mercy and love of God that is found in Jesus Christ. Paul sends Timothy, and the first thing that Timothy must do is to preach the gospel message. And what is that gospel message? It is that God is a God of love and patience and grace and mercy. It's amazing in this letter, which is so much about solving problems and dealing with sticky, troubling issues in a church. It's amazing how many positive terms Paul begins with in chapter one. You know, you could imagine Paul setting out to write this letter and beginning with a list of all of the problems. But he begins with the list of all of the wonderful, beautiful, good things that God has done for us. He talks about the love, the grace, the patience, and the mercy of God. The church budget, the church property, the issues of getting more people, the issues of leadership, the troubles that plague the church. None of these Paul knows. None of these can be solved if the people don't start from a strong foundation of their faith in God. Paul believes this because he believes that faith in God through Jesus Christ, that is the starting point. That is the starting point that leads to transformation. You can't deal with your problems. You can't deal with your issues if you don't start with a repaired relationship with God through Jesus Christ. You have to start with that relationship first. Faith in God through Jesus Christ. Paul explains to Timothy that faith in God through Jesus Christ leads to the internal conditions under which problems can actually get solved. Without the gospel, without faith, without the peace and the direction that faith provides, and the gift of the Holy Spirit with which faith provides, the church is without its hope. Without its hope. And so for that reason, the place that Paul commands Timothy to begin is with the gospel. His calling is to remind people of the truth of the gospel. And the summary of that gospel that Paul gives is his own experience. Paul calls himself a man of violence, that he was a man of violence. He was out there causing troubles and causing problems in the world. He was actively persecuting Jesus' church. And God looked at him with mercy and grace and patience enough to stop Paul in his tracks, to forgive him of all of those mistakes, and to turn Paul around and to send him in a better direction. Paul tells the story of God's grace and mercy and patience. Paul reminds Timothy and asks Timothy to remind everyone else that the foundation of our lives, the foundation of our church, is love and grace and mercy and patience, all from God. We exist. We are forgiven. We are made new, not because we are strong or smart, not because we are perfect or capable, not because we are better problem solvers than others. We are here because of God's grace. Paul knows and remembers this truth, and believing it, he knows, has a transformational effect. In particular, Paul explains that it leads to three things. Believing in the gospel of God's grace and mercy and peace, that God looks at us with love and God forgives us and makes us new. Paul explains that it leads to a pure heart, a heart that is forgiven, washed clean of sins, and therefore able to stand confidently in God's presence. Believing gives us a pure heart. And so we are able together to stand in God's presence and be reminded that we are accepted and we are loved and we are cared for. We are cared for, and God sees us and knows us. Believe in the gospel. Have your heart be made pure. Paul explains that believing in the gospel leads to a good conscience. Knowing God's love, knowing how God has dealt with us, it inspires good problem solving in our lives. It inspires good thoughts, good ideas, faithful decisions for our lives and for the life of our church. We have a pure heart. We are able to stand in God's presence. We have a good conscience. We know how God has dealt with us, and so we are able better to deal with one another and with our problems. And finally, believing in the gospel, Paul explains, leads to a sincere faith. A sincere faith. You are seen and accepted by God. You have a good conscience, so you know how to act better in the world. And finally, you have a sincere faith, which means that you know that you are always and ultimately in God's hands. So no matter how things go, as you go about trying to face all of those problems, God loves you still. God loves you still. And nothing will ever be able to shake you out of God's hands. My friends, we face troubles in our lives. We face obstacles to tackle in our life together as a church. And let us therefore heed the good news and the good instructions that God gives Paul in his letter to Timothy. Let us begin by putting some work into our faith in the gospel. Let us begin by remembering and believing the good news that we are here because of God's love, that we are forgiven, and that with God's help, we are transformed and we are made new. And from that good foundation, let us find that we have been given pure hearts, good conscience, and sincere faith. Thanks be to God. Amen.